Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough already. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come.
Aha! Hit the drop.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Mike, do your job.
I don't have everything ready.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host David Sampson, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, 11-year NBA veteran Jamal Mashburn. Coming up, former MLB manager and World Series champion Terry Francona. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's David Sampson.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm here still. One more hour. You're stuck with me.
Yeah.
It's David Sampson. I've been looking forward to this. When I got word, I was super excited. I get to hang out with Jason and Chris and you. But let me tell you, when I found out
and that guy over there
that our next guest was coming, I have feelings about this next guest that are so positive. And I didn't even realize what a big Red Sox and New England fan. And
oh, man.
This has to be your number one moment of the last 2 days.
Absolutely.
This man changed your life.
Changed my life.
Forever.
Forever.
When you win a World Series after never having won one in almost forever. The rest of time.
That's it.
He could do anything. Terry Francona could do anything.
He could do anything. And he's done everything. Tito, thank you. I love you. And you're a beautiful bald man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anything better, Terry? Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show. You're stuck with me. People don't know this, but as president of the Marlins for all those years, Terry and I have known each other since 1999, 2000. And I'm pretty sure when we've spoken, we never thought that we'd be speaking together on the Rich Eisen Show, which is amazing and lucky for us and me and the audience. I was just last night talking to Josh Beckett. And guess what? We were talking about you.
Uh-oh, my ears were burning.
Your ears must have been burning. What you were able to do in corralling to win a World Series, I think that the most underrated thing that people don't get is the role of a manager. People, because you have to explain your X's and O's moves. But to me, when I'm evaluating managers, that's about 2% of the equation. It's about all the other stuff to get these players out on the field and get them to potentially hit 80% of their potential. And you were one of the greatest of all time doing that, Terry.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. I agree with you. I think every market has different challenges for managers. And like you say, though, when you have good players, get out of the way and let good players play, and just try to make it easier for them to play.
It's hard to make it easier. There's so many distractions. I'm thinking about when you first started your career with the Phillies versus at the end of your career with the Guardians. The difference is jarring in the money the players had. The difference is jarring in the entitlement that some of the players had. And your ability to both manage up and manage down, manage up into a front office, manage down into groups of players who may not appreciate sort of the position they have, is another defining characteristic you had. And I think people underrate that when they're talking about managers and coaches. Can you just tell us, did you find that to be challenging as your career continued to unfold?
You know, you raise a really interesting point. Times certainly have changed. You know, in 1997, when I was the manager of the Phillies, I remember going to Ed Wade, and I wanted to get a thing. It was called Inside Edge. It's kind of a newer,
thing
to kind of scout. And I believe it was $500. And we didn't get the okay for that. And then you look up 20 years later at where the analytics have gone and how many people are involved. And, you know, $500 seems like kind of a drop in the bucket.
It's funny you say that because old school managers, and you're both new school and old school, and you have to use analytics. We demanded that people use them as just an arrow in the quiver. I don't agree with being fully analytic, and I don't agree with ignoring the numbers, but people don't realize that you can't just, you have to look at heartbeat. Joe Torre, you and I once talked about heartbeat. I love that conversation. And people talk about it and slowing the game down. Do you like that as a concept? Do you evaluate players using that?
I love what you just said. I think as a manager, as a coach, as a player, anybody, probably as a radio host, if you're ignoring some information, you're probably missing the boat. If you're relying on one part of information solely, you're probably also missing the boat. So what you try to do is if you have a question, get it answered correctly. And the best way to do that is by being well-rounded and using your eyes, using, you know, your brain, using technology, using video, and never forgetting for 1 minute that players are human beings.
One thing that you and I have not spoken about, and I want to bring it up just ever so briefly, was what happened with Trevor Bauer. And I don't mean after he left you. I'm talking about on the mound. One thing that I have talked about constantly with players over 18 years is understanding the chain of command, understanding when to make an issue, because I didn't want to tell players to shut up and dribble, but I wanted them to understand where they can decide to not shut up and not dribble. And on the mound, when you're being taken out of a game, that doesn't strike me as the time to do it. I assume you had never seen anything like that in your entire career at that moment.
It really stunned me. As a matter of fact, I wasn't sure. I thought I saw it, but I was like, there's no way that happened. And you can imagine, and Trev right away knew that he probably had gone a little too far. And as you can see in that picture, he's trying to explain to me, and I wasn't having any of it. I said, we'll take care of it back in the underneath behind the dugout. So that's what we did.
You know, no one could have projected how that would have gone with Trevor. But one thing that you commanded was respect. And when the Red Sox were heading to their first World Series in 04, I know the pressure. I know what happened in 03 to the benefit of me with the Marlins. And we beat the Yankees when you guys lost. Unfortunately, it wasn't your team. It was the Red Sox at that time when they lost with the home run by Boone. But when you're taking over, having seen what happened with the team in 03, to a team that had not won in 782 years, what are you thinking in your mind? Like, are you trying to put it out of your head, or are you making it clear in spring training, we got to get this?
You know, it's funny because I don't remember ever even talking about it. I said the same thing, you know, in Cleveland. They kept asking, you know, because they hadn't won since 1948. And as you know, winning is hard enough as it is. And I didn't think it was fair to our players that my dad's teams couldn't win. Shoot, that's not their fault. So, you know, just try to stay in the moment and win. And to be truthful, I was so excited to be the manager of that team, because normally when you take over, you know, you're taking over for a team that's had been struggling. That's why mm-hmm. they make managerial changes. And this team was built to win. They just, you know, again, they got down to, you know, 03, and you saw all that, what happened. This team was really good. So it was an exciting time more than anything else.
I once fired a manager of the year. So sometimes you can come in. Seriously, in 06, Joe Girardi won manager of the year, and we fired him. I'm not sure why that happened, because he was manager of the year.
You were in charge.
I was in charge. I know exactly why it happened.
I'll stay away from that one. I'll leave that one to you.
Terry, you know, on a side note, and we don't have to say it now, you know what happened also. It is not a secret. I would like to talk to you about what you're doing with the Invited Celebrity Classic. It's the third annual, and I'm looking at the list of people. This is nationally televised, a PGA Tour Champions competition. You've got PGA Tour champions. It didn't say anything about live players. We can talk about that after. You have sports and entertainment stars. But then I'm looking, and it looks like you got Glavin, and you got Smoltz, and you got Maddox. And those guys, they're good enough to be professional. But you put them in the celebrity category. How did you get all three of them?
Yeah, you just made my rear end pucker a little bit when you said it was going to be nationally televised. I got a hard enough time playing when there's 10 people around. So I'm kind of honored that they asked me. And I've never been able to do stuff like this because, you know, you're in the middle of your season and you're in the middle of your grind. And this is one of the kind of things I really wanted to do when I retired. And I'm trying to take advantage of it. I've become really good friends with some of the guys on the Champions Tour, even to the point where, like, Billy Andre and his caddy Zig, shoot, they stay with me when they were in Tucson. And we'd barbecue at night, and some of the guys would come over. Some of the medical people would come over, people that I've known for years. And it's just it's a really cool thing. They've gotten to a point in their career where they're so grateful for what they have, and it really comes across well. So to be able to be a part of that for a couple of days, I'm really excited. I'm also nervous because if there's people around, my backswing will be a little tight.
Well, what are the chances that you shank the first tee on national television? 50-50?
The chances just grew because you mentioned it.
Well,
they're talking about a no-hitter, David.
There's going to be millions of people watching. It's like going on the 18th at St. Andrews. There's always people there watching.
Guys, so, I played. Michael Jordan had a golf tournament in Vegas. This was the year I was working at ESPN in 2012. And it wasn't televised or anything, but there was probably 100 people on the first tee. And they introduced me, and I remember trying to get the club head to go back, and I'm like, take it back, and it wouldn't go. I was stuck, and that was only 100 people, so I am a little nervous about this.
Are you a scout for the Cavaliers?
No, but I love free stuff, as so, everybody in baseball does.
That is true. There's a lot of free stuff. I'm still wearing, I have right now, I have Marlin socks on.
I'm telling you, man, that might be the worst thing about not being the manager. And all my buddies here in town say the same thing. They're like, hey, man, we missed the free gear. And, you know, that's just part of it. It hurts.
Oh, Terry, I'm going to help you right now. Here's how you keep getting free gear once you've been fired by the team, which you weren't fired. Of course, you retired because you're a Hall of Famer. Here's what you do. You call up the clubby. How easy is that?
I actually was just talking to him this morning, and I was dropping hints, so I think he knows.
Oh, I think you can be more direct. Like, hey, send me a box of stuff. Because you're wearing Cavaliers stuff. Are you a huge Cavaliers fan?
Yeah, you know what? I am. I you know, because I was in Cleveland 11 years, and, you know, when LeBron was there, it was really easy. But then even after he left, I love what they're doing. I love how they've done it with youth. It kind of reminds me a lot of the Guardians and formerly the Indians. I just like the way they do things. They play defense. They go against the grain a little bit of the NBA, but they're proven that you can be successful that way. So, yeah, I am a fan.
Brock, I just got word in my ear, and it may not be accurate, but that what Terry said, what he was really trying to say there is that the Cavaliers are going to beat the Celtics.
What?
No, I didn't say that.
No, I could have sworn. I got it right
no,
here.
I didn't say that.
Terry, we're tight. But come on.
I'm faithful. I'm not dumb. That might be a little difficult.
That's a good line.
That's a little too harsh, given that the Celtics have been unable to close the deal ever with this group of players.
They're pretty good.
They are pretty good. But you've beaten, you know what it is to beat teams that, in theory, as you know, teams, some of the parts, sometimes there are some X factors that come into play come playoff time. We know that above all in baseball. Winning World Series, it's hard. You need some two-out RBIs. You need some duck farts to go in. You need some things to happen that may not always happen.
You know what, David? The way I have explained it to a lot of people is, first of all, you got to really be good. And then you got to catch a break somewhere.
For sure.
And then you got to be good enough to take advantage of that break. Every team that you go back and look that's won, there's usually a time in a series where you're like, wow, that's kind of a turning point, or, you know, they really caught a break there. But then you also got to be good enough to take advantage of it.
So this Celebrity Classic that you're participating in, it's April 19th to 21st, which is like 2 weeks from now at Las Colinas Country Club in Irving, Texas. It's going to be live on the Golf Channel all 3 days. How early are you going to get to Irving? Because I feel like you should maybe consider playing a round prior to the cameras.
Well, they actually have two rounds with like a pro-am with people that pay to want to play. And so that gives me a little bit of chance to practice, but truth be told, if I play 5 days in a row, I'm going to be worse on the fifth day than I was on the first day. So, you know what, man, I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, every year I've come home from baseball, I have to hit one more club the same distance. So it's kind of getting aggravating. So I can only get so good. So it doesn't matter if I practice or not.
Don't you miss now? I'm just going to get nostalgic. I did it way fewer years than you. I did it for 18 seasons. I miss the wins and losses. I miss the competition a lot. I miss the everyday grind. I miss the, and that's why I do a daily show, because I'm trying to find a way to get that thought of the grind and the wins and losses. Do you miss it?
No, you know what, David? And that's, I understand. You know, in 2012, when I didn't work, it took me till about August to miss it. And when I started to miss it, I was like, okay, you know, maybe I'll do this again. I think I retired because the grind that you spoke about and the one that I almost craved, it started to get the better of me. And after 44 years, it was just time. You know, I felt like there's a way to do the job right. And to do that, you got to be all in. And I was starting to waver a little bit, and I didn't want to overstay my welcome. And I just thought that the time was right. And I thought it through pretty thoroughly. So to your point, I mean, I love the game, and the game has been all I've ever had, and I love it. But no, I really don't miss some of that stuff.
One thing that Jack McKeon said to me, our World Series winning manager, who was 70, when the oldest manager at the time prior to Dusty winning with the Astros, was the oldest manager to win a World Series. I told him that the losses were bothering more than the wins were making me happy. And he said that was another sign that maybe it's time for Jeter to fire you, because that's very bad. You don't want that to happen. I was getting angry.
You know what? You're right. When you win, you're almost relieved. But when you lose, you're devastated. And, you know, Jim Leland's a guy that I've looked up to for so long. And I called him and talked to him and bent his ear a little bit, just because I know he had kind of gone through similar stuff. And he was really helpful. And like I said, I thought it through pretty thoroughly, and I feel pretty good about what I did.
Well, now you get a chance to be in this golf tournament, and I just want to pump it because I want to put as much pressure on you as possible. I want to get as many people watching the Golf Channel. I want to say that you can get complimentary grounds tickets all 3 days of the tournament. Just register at invitecelebrityclassic.com, and you can watch Terry Francona on the first tee. You can just see him grip it and rip it.
There's a pretty good chance that TV camera is not going to be on me on the golf course. You named guys like Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz, and I think I'll be able to blend into the background pretty well. Shoot, they might even think I'm the caddy.
Oh, I think when I look at the list, Tony Romo's on it, and Pujols, and Urlacher. Ooh. Pudge Rodriguez, you're going to see Pudge. Tell him hello. I would put you in the top echelon of icons with all of these celebrities who are committed to this. I think that you are underselling, and I love that you're trying to do this, but it's not working, and our audience isn't going to buy it. You are one of the most accomplished managers in the history of Major League Baseball.
Well, that's very kind of you, but on the golf course, it might be a different story. I am excited. I mean, and just to see some of the guys you just named, and it's amazing to me. I played in an event a couple years ago, it was called the Diamond Resorts in Orlando. And it amazed me how friendly everybody was. And like, I saw Brian Urlacher and remember thinking, man, I don't want to bother him. And he was so upbeat and so friendly.
Super nice guy.
It kind of was like that across the board.
He's a big guy, Urlacher.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't want to piss him off.
No. And I was imagining what it would be like to be hit by him running with him running at full speed and with pads on. And
David,
it would end badly for us.
I got a little funny story if we have time. We're, you know, you have to walk. And at the last day on Sunday, man, I was hurting. You know, walking that many days, and everybody knows about my health. And we had gotten backed up on 18, and Marcus Allen was playing in front of me. And Marcus is you talk about a gentleman and friendly, and he was sitting on a little soda box there, you know. And I said, Marcus, I said, you're not that big, man. I said, how'd you feel on Monday? And he looked up without even skipping a beat, and he said, "About like you look right now."
Wow, that's an insult, I think. That can't be a compliment. Can we talk about the rule changes? You and I have been around pre-rule changes, post-rule changes in baseball. There were many days. I think that I would have had a better family life if the game times weren't 3:35 every single night, getting home on a Tuesday at 1 a.m., and now you're looking at 2:20s all the time. I assume that you're loving it as the rest of the country is.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. You know what? When you're playing or you're a manager, you go where they tell you when they tell you. But when they make it a little bit easier for everybody, that's a good thing.
I would yell from the president's suite or the GM suite. I'd yell the players to get in the box. I'd yell the pitchers, toe the rubber, man. Like, let's go. And I wanted it because pace to me matters. And I understand that we want the pitchers to sometimes gain their composure. I always understood that players try, when you're a hitter, try to get the pitcher out of rhythm. But really, when it's about habit, doing your batting gloves and all the other stuff they do, that's not strategic. That's habitual. And I think we've done a great job of getting rid of that.
I think we were part of the blame, though, as an industry, because, you know, we all of a sudden we had walk-up songs, and, you know, I think one thing led to another. And I know we're kind of slow with change, but I think they did a really good job because I think it's good for the game. I don't think quicker has to be the goal. I think better has to be the goal. But not so much dead time is certainly going to make the game better.
We actually, Terry, you may remember this. We call it the pace of action, not pace of play inside the industry.
Which makes a lot of sense to me.
We wanted more action. And that's what fans want. And we've seen it with an increase in attendance everywhere but Oakland. We've seen it with a great situation happening with people engaging in baseball better, which is always a positive thing because we have a season underway. Who do you root for when the Guardians play the Red Sox?
Well, I still work for the Guardians. So who do you root for? That's an easy one, man. I'm Cleveland through and through. I certainly have fond memories of everything but the way it ended in Boston. I spent 11 years in Cleveland, and I'm still an employee. A lot of the coaches are still the same guys that I was with. You can't spend 11 years in a place. I mean, shoot, man, there's some of my best friends in the whole world that are still there.
I love that fact. I had a hard time. The other time I knew I was ready to leave sports is when I rooted against so many teams. The teams were playing each other, and I wanted a tie. Because you've been around like every National League East team. You just want them to lose every time. And when you manage multiple teams, multiple divisions, you're loyal to Cleveland. It's hard then to root for teams.
You know, David, I found when we would lose, I'd go home at night and I tried to figure out a way where every other team would lose. And
as you
found out, it's impossible because you just can't tie. But it was just you get miserable.
It's funny. I would root for rainouts. All these retractable roofs totally really did me in because I could root for the game just not to be played because there's situations like when Atlanta would play the Mets. Right. I can't possibly have any of those teams win.
Whoever came up with, you know, Misery Loves Company knew what they were talking about.
That's for sure. Hey, listen, Terry, thank you. I want to just say that you are playing at the Invited Celebrity Classic, nationally televised on the Golf Channel, PGA Tour Champions Competition, 78 PGA Tour Champions, a bunch of amazing celebrities led by Terry Francona, and then those other guys, lots of other cool guys. Complimentary grounds tickets still available, so get them and watch Terry. Terry, good luck. We're going to be following, and we'd like to see you, you know, break 100.
Oh, I can do that.
Then great. But then you're a winner.
But if I can just finish the third day, I'll consider that a big win.
It is so good to see you and talk to you. The privilege is all of ours. Thank you, Terry.
David, thank you so much. I'll see you, man.
Yes, you will. Take care. Was that fun for you?
It was amazing.
Because you love him.
I just want it on the record. He got railroaded out of Boston. He was done so dirty by the local press. And it's a travesty how it ended. He should have never left. He should have been able to leave Boston on his terms, what he did for the city and what he did for the team.
You know, the end is often dirty.
It happens in our city more often than most, I think.
People say that in their cities. I would just say that it's hard. It's hard to have a glamorous exit. Yep. It's just hard for heroes. on the court, hard for heroes off the court. I think that it's going to be a problem for you at the end of this year for the NBA. You're going to have to find a way to get through the Celtics.
I'm going to have to find a way to get back to Boston for the parade. That's the problem. It's going to be tough.
That'll be fun on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. It'll be in June, Dave. You know what I mean?
That was fun seeing Terry.
He's the best.
We'll be back.
We'll be right back.
Always.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there's the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast-scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter, who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Is it true that you met Lorne Michaels as a vendor at Yankee Stadium, the SNL founder?
Yep.
Is that true?
Gate four. And I was a kid. And my friends told me, that's Lorne Michaels, that's Lorne Michaels. He came out at the players' gate. And I overcharged him for like three bats and some Yankee shirts. And then when I became a cast member, I gave him back like $14 and some cents. And he said, what's this for? I said, because I overcharged you for some items. He started laughing. He started dying.
This is, when you said game four, like what, the 96 World Series? Is that what that was, Tracy? What do you think?
Let me see what game.
When were you vending?
It was a Derek Jeter. No. Manningly, I think Manningly was playing.
Okay, so that was probably like 95 or something like that. Okay, so so what were you doing out there? You were selling stuff. So you were
scalping tickets. I scalped tickets. I sold souvenirs and I sold cocaine. And that's when it was $21 a gram. I'm getting 45 regardless of how it go down for me.
So this is true.
I'm sorry, because I live right up the hill. So I had tickets, I had cocaine, and I had souvenirs.
You had it all. That's what you're saying back in the day.
$20, $21 a gram.
And so you sold hats and bats and stuff like that. And that's how you met. Isn't that
coke.
Amazing?
Don't forget the coke.
You got something in there,
Tracy? Tracy really was Hustle Man from Martin back in the day.
Man. I really was.
You really was Hustle Man.
I worked souvenirs, and I was Tony Montana on the side.
Welcome back. It's the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, and I am sitting right now at the Rich Eisen Show desk. Yeah, it's David Sampson.
I'm looking at you.
I'm right here. Yeah. I won't be here on Monday, though.
You never know.
Well, no, I do know. I'm doing a live, nothing personal show in Atlanta.
He's like, no, right. Bitterly.
So
I
will
be
in Atlanta.
What if Rich texts you right now and be like, yo, Samson, I need you to stay till Monday. What would you do?
I would assume it's not him because he wouldn't say that. But in case he did text me, I would tell him that I have a live show in Atlanta on Monday. And then Boston. I'm going to Boston.
Can't double book. Nice.
To do a live show Wednesday, April 10th. Next Wednesday, I'll be doing a live, nothing personal. Do you want to come to that?
I would love to, actually.
Well, I have a new thing.
Sox will be home. We can after the nice 10-day road trip.
The Sox are going to be home.
We're going to be in first place going home. And so, nice. I catch a game at Fenway. It's been a few years.
I just got to figure out how to get out of here with the Rich Eisen show desk.
I was going to say, does that fit in the overhead compartment?
It's furnished by Grainger. And what's amazing is they have supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you, this desk for me. Call them, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. So I'm trying to maybe stop by on the way to LAX, but I don't know that I can carry as much because I'm taking some of your memorabilia. So I'm going to be checking bags for sure. But this desk, I don't know, Rich, I'm pretty comfortable in your desk. Feels pretty good. Something happened yesterday. We have breaking news.
Speaking of memorabilia.
Speaking of memorabilia. Do you ever go to a game and purposely sit in the outfield trying to catch a ball?
No.
Because you know the odds are slim.
I've never caught a foul ball at a game. I've come super close once. Right before I moved to LA, I went to a game at Fenway, sitting on the first base side. Foul ball coming right at me. I'm literally going to catch it. Dude sitting right in front of me stuck his arm out and hit his wrist, and it bounced into the walkway, and some random idiot walking by was like, oh, cool, ball. And then the guy in front of me had to get an ice pack for his wrist, and I was like, serves you right, that was my ball.
You should have actually just said thank you, because he saved you from getting domed,
because you would not have caught it. I absolutely would have caught it.
You absolutely would not have caught it.
I played baseball for 20 years, David. I would have caught it.
Do you know how hard it is to catch foul balls? That are line. Was it a pop-up foul ball or a line?
I played third base. I would have caught it.
How old were you at the time?
This is right before I was 28.
Oh, you may have had a chance.
Just moved out here.
You may have had a chance.
Right before I moved to LA.
I got one foul ball all my career. I was sitting behind the plate in a box a little up above, and it was a foul ball right behind, right in, easy. It was like a can of corn.
Yeah.
But a line drive foul ball sitting behind the dugout, I'm pretty sure I would not have been able to catch that.
This is pre-net days. I think it would have hit the net.
We did pre-net days.
Pre-net days.
We did slump busters running the team. Slump busters for us, not what some people may say. Slump busters for us is we go sit in the outfield.
Okay.
We'd get out of the box. We'd get out of the owner's box. We'd get out of the jam box when our team wasn't doing well, and we'd go sit in the outfield seats. And I always imagined a home run ball coming.
Never.
And catching a home run ball. Nope.
I think it would be fun to do at the Home Run Derby, All-Star Weekend. And go out there, you know, because obviously there's hundreds of home runs coming out there, home run derby. And just hang out with your glove and try to catch balls. That'd be fun.
I was scared. We hosted the home run derby in 2017 at Marlins Park. And I was scared for the kids on the field. Have you ever watched the kids on the field during the home run derby? They're the ones.
Yeah, there's about 100 of them out there running around shagging balls.
And my biggest concern was, have they all signed liability waivers? Because the balls come out there and oh, I'm serious.
Well, the balls are juiced anyway, so they're coming out, you know, extra hot.
These are professional baseball players hitting balls that are batting practice balls at you. And if they're not a home run, they are line drives. You can't, kids don't have a shot at those. And it looks all fun when the kids are reaching up.
It does look fun.
Here's what's not fun. When they get domed. They don't show that on the network.
Have you ever had an issue? Did someone ever come back and try to sue the team because they got hurt in a home run derby? Has that ever happened?
Oh, I've been sued, though, for foul balls.
Really?
Oh, for sure.
There's signs everywhere. You know what you're getting into when you go to a game.
You can sue for anything, but we actually have cameras on all of you. And so what we do is we'll check the camera and deciding how much to give you in your settlement. Sometimes I get angry, and if someone's on their phone when they get hit with the foul ball,
they kind of deserve
I'll
it.
Say, we'll offer you like $1.75. You know, pay attention.
Replace the phone?
But not even. But sometimes you settle for a couple grand.
Yeah.
And sometimes on principle alone, you go all the way, May. Mm. But there's a lot of foul ball lawsuits. There's a lot of concourse lawsuits. People walking around, slipping, falling.
Oh.
Ice cream, ketchup.
Yeah. Spilled beer, whatever.
Spilled beer, yeah. Stickiness. Everyone's trying to get a buck. And they ruin it for the people who are there trying to catch memorabilia.
Yeah.
There was a guy, the guy who caught Ken Griffey's 600th home run ball. He was a professional home run ball catcher.
Oh, what's that?
Wow.
Is it the dude who everyone knows?
He's a different dude. I know the dude you're talking about, his name.
Yeah.
Different dude. If I'd Google, I could Google dude catches home run balls for living.
Home run catcher guy is literally the first. Zach Hample. It's literally the first thing that pops up on Google.
Yeah, so this was a different guy. He's a guy who came to Marlins games. Yep. Ken Griffey hit his 600th home run. We were prepared because we knew it was possible. And we had security ready. We had our systems in place.
Yep.
I was going to immediately meet with the person and start negotiating to get the ball back for Ken Griffey. I'd spoken to Ken Griffey before the game, and he said, yeah, a couple G's at most. I'm not interested. Let him have the ball. But I really wanted to get the deal done to give it to Ken.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not get the deal done. Because you start with, hey, a couple Ken Griffey balls. How about a few bats? Maybe an M&G. Quick meet and greet.
Yep.
Quick snap and repeat photo.
Just throw out the taste. See if you can hook them right away.
Trying to establish where we are. Yep. When the response is, hey, this could be a couple years of college tuition. That's when it gets dicey. That's when you know the trade may not work. But yeah, there's always a system. The Dodgers apparently don't have systems, which staggers me. Mm. Because Shohei Ohtani hit his first career home run with the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium. A woman catches it, and I covered this on This Morning. It's nothing personal, but let's go into some detail with you guys because I can't even believe the idiocy that I saw. They separated the husband and the wife, tried to negotiate, and did a deal for bupkis, two hats, a bat, not even a meet and greet or a signed jersey. And it's about a $100,000 ball.
Yeah, that's what Ken Golden had. He's, you know, Golden Auctions. He had kind of thrown that out on Twitter that, you know, could be a six-figure ball.
Could be. What if it's a $50,000 ball?
Still a lot of money.
Still a lot. It's life-changing. Yeah. For the majority of people, $10,000 ball, still cool.
Yep.
And the fact that Shohei Ohtani wanted the ball, here's the part of the story that people aren't talking enough about, is that Shohei Ohtani, for whatever reason, wanted us to believe that, hey, I met the people. And the people came out and said, we never met Shohei Ohtani. So did Shohei lie about that? And if he lied about that, doesn't that mean he could lie about gambling? And he could lie about his interpreter and the $4.5 million? And is that a bridge that I'm walking way too carefully? Or is this a real situation where the Dodgers have a problem with Ohtani? Or is it the interpreter? The new interpreter interpreted wrong.
It's just hard to believe that this could be fumbled so bad.
So badly.
After what they just went through and how the season started with an interpreter gambling, miscommunication, lying issue.
Changing the story. There's a bunch of stories. The Dodgers now just released and just announced just now within the last few minutes that they're going to invite the husband and wife back, try to make amends. And they're going to review. This is my favorite thing I used to do as an executive. When we did something wrong, we're going to review our procedures, which is total poppycock. They don't have any procedures to review, but they're going to review them and try to improve them. I've got a suggestion for the Dodgers. Just do the right thing and make sure no one lies.
Seems simple enough.
So easy. Those are the procedures. Do the right thing. And don't lie. Doesn't that cover almost anything?
I mean, but you learned that in kindergarten, right?
Yeah, but they don't get it, I don't think.
Yeah, but it's still something that's been kind of pounded into your, like, you know, tell the truth and be a good person. Like, that's something.
They know, like, their parents are lying to them when they say, hey, you're a great baseball player.
Sparky, I'm trying to agree with you here.
No, but, like, I'm just saying that Brock lies to his kid all the time.
He lies to me. What? Hey, buddy, did you wash your hands after going to the bathroom? Yeah. Let me see him. No, you didn't. Why are you lying? Because he's four.
Kids lie. Adults lie.
Yeah.
I think that we don't realize that sometimes the truth is easier. And the Dodgers, in this case, it would have been very simple. Just acknowledge, hey, there was some confusion with the interpreter. Here's the fact. Ohtani did not meet the people, and he should have. We always had the players. When we wanted something from a fan, it's the number one thing you give up. Is, hey, the player will come out for a quick...
Yeah, hey, buddy, hey, look, you gotta go out
seconds.
Here.
It's 60 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
It's free.
Yeah.
And we do it right outside the clubhouse. So the player doesn't have to move. And the people think it's really cool they get to see outside the clubhouse. We don't let them in. And this is pre-COVID. Don't let them in.
Yeah, don't let them in.
The player comes out, arm around, keep it click, knocking. See you later.
Done. Yeah, grin and grab.
Peace.
Grin and grab.
Really easy.
Ohtani, did he not want to do it? Did the Dodgers not realize that that would have been an easy offer? Especially when they got a deal done for a couple hats and a couple bats?
They started at hats, right? And then they had to up it to bats? Is that what I saw?
Do you know how many bats? So I'm going to bring you inside an equipment room in a clubhouse.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere. Boxes
balls,
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Oh, balls. Don't get me started.
There's a million
$7 each.
In a major league stadium. So many.
And we pay for them, which is why we don't like when the ball boys throw them in the stands. We want them back. We use them for BP.
Yep.
Someone gave you, here's what I used to say to our ball boys. I did. Hey, instead of a ball rolling into your glove, what if $7 rolled into your glove?
Would you throw it in the
stands?
Five
and two twos. Would you just throw it in the stands? Or would you pocket it?
Is that for real? Really?
That is 100% for real.
That's awful.
No, but let me give you a better reason why.
No, but you can't. David Sampson. You can't. No.
Not
you're
awful.
A professional. Like, you're going to nickel and dime the fan. You know what it means to get a baseball?
Do you know how rich you can be by collecting nickels and dimes?
Did you watch Moneyball? The A's made them pay for sodas.
Yeah, I know. That's.
They also had the MVP and the Cy Young Award winner.
That's
So that movie was a little off.
Well, they left out the pitching.
You mean Mulder, Hudson, Zito, and Miguel Tejada?
Well, Tejada was in the movie, but not as
the MVP.
He wasn't mentioned. It was more about Dave Justice. The Yankees are paying half your salary.
I was pretty out on Moneyball.
Great movie.
Plus, Billy Bean doesn't look anything like Brad Pitt. Nothing like him. And Paul DePodesta doesn't look like Jonah Hill.
It wasn't Paul DePodesta.
Yes, it was.
It was Peter Brand.
But they wouldn't allow it.
I know.
Paul DePodesta wouldn't allow it, so they said, hey, we're going to cast Jonah Hill, lest you think that you're tall, dark, and handsome.
Got nominated for an Oscar.
It was a very good dramatic movie.
Great movie.
Just wasn't accurate. That's not how it goes down.
Which part?
The way the trades go down, the way the meeting with the scouts goes down, the reason why the A's were so successful. It's just not exactly how it happened.
I know. It's still a fun movie.
But it's okay to be entertained.
I loved it.
I just don't want you to be tricked. I want to bring you to the inside.
I'm not tricked. I read the book first.
Well, in that case, you got it all figured out.
Read the book. I'm just telling
you. So what would you do if you caught Ohtani's ball? You know what? You impugned me. I'm gonna revisit you, okay, if you don't mind, TJ.
I'm just saying, I'm upset by this news.
It's the lawsuits that we got from people who got hit from balls being thrown into the crowd that really bothered me. So we would have players throwing balls in and they would whip them. And then we'd get sued because people would get hit. And so we asked players, please don't whip the balls in. If you want to give the ball to a fan, it's fine at the end of an inning. If you could just lightly toss it underhand.
Okay, well, that's a different story then.
For the ball boys, we said that if it's just a ground ball that you pick up, you know, outside third first, mm-hmm, keep it. Put it in the bag because we use them. If there's a fan who reaches over, if there's a fan that's nearby, if you see a kid, you've got the ability, you're empowered, you can give it. So it wasn't a hard and fast, we'll fire you. But we're not the only team, just as a side note.
I didn't expect, but still.
I do like the thought of throwing. Would you throw $7 into the stands, though? No.
Well, no, but when you look at it like that.
100 times a game. And then multiply it by 81 games. It's not nothing. Here's the thing about people big business.
You numbers people, man.
It's funny. You all think that making little cuts, do you do this in your home budget? You can absolutely cut things that don't seem big. But if you do it enough, your life stays the same and you actually can save money and pay your bills.
What's a home? When you say home budget, how do you spell that?
That's BUDGETCOMMERCIAL.
Got it.
And we need a BREAK.
That's where we're going right now, to the people.
<laughs> America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Mike Del Tufo is standing at a microphone that's about, I'd say, 20 feet away.
Yep.
Looking right at Mr. Wonderful of Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank. Go for it, Mike Del Tufo.
What happens if, like, something happens to me and 2,500 miles away, my family's there, and they don't know? I could be sitting in the apartment alone, dead for days. So I came up with an idea for an app called Just In Case that would be basically you download it, and you could check in with this app. And other people could see that, A, you're alive still. You could basically be tracked with it.
Just to get the whole story, before I completely eviscerate you.
Go ahead.
How would you make money doing this?
You, a subscription per month.
Oh, people are going to pay per month.
99 cents per month. Very cheap.
If your mom calls you for 2 days and doesn't get an answer, she's probably going to call the super and say, go check on his corpse. Like, think about it. They don't need 99 cents a month for that.
But in theory, wouldn't you want, if it's something you don't have to do,
Mike,
other people can check in?
When you're dead, you're dead. Like, who cares?
How does the app know you're dead?
The app doesn't know you're dead.
You have to tell it you're not
dead. The app would tell you that you're not checking in. Every time you unlock your phone, it would ping, and you put people on a list that know that if, like, your mother's in Florida, she could be sitting in the house. You know that at least she's checked in on her phone. If you're their kid, you don't have to talk to him on the phone. You don't have to call him. And if it's a kid, you know the kid.
If you think if you're worried your mother's dead, why don't you call her?
Well, let's say
call your mother, Mike.
People don't call their mother and father and live 2,500 miles away every day.
I just want to make sure you're not dead. Like, are you kidding? You should call your mother every day.
No. I'm talking about, like, all day. You don't know.
Oh, you want to know the exact moment your mother
dies. Yeah, you can check in. You know that they've actually... Exactly.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. It's David Sampson sitting in. We are taking it home.
Let's go, baby.
I can't believe how quickly this is all gone. I'm coming back. I don't care what Rich says. I'm going to send him away again. You guys are way too much fun.
Up another chair over here. You can sit next to me.
And I'm going to want to go to games. And the way I go to games, I don't know about you all.
Well, I want to go. I'm a plus one, so I'll go how you go.
You would not be my plus one, but I appreciate that. You could be part of another group that I go with, but wow. Would not
don't
be my
don't you need
plus
some one. Muscle?
No. No, I don't. But fair. I'll tell you what I do.
Fair.
Is that, did you know that Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball? So if you want to go to a Major League Baseball game.
I'm going to use it this weekend.
Getting tickets is faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down. That's why you're supposed to wait. Go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I've used them. It's amazing. The fact that the fees are right there. Everything. And you can see where your seats are. And it's absolutely seamless. It is the ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase, and it really does. Find last minute seats, exclusive flash and sponsor deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, done it, comedy, done it, theater, done it, and more. And Game Time provides the all-in pricing feature that we talked about that shows the total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. It takes the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. And it's so easy. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code RICH. They'll give you $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit gametime.co for terms. Again, just create an account, redeem the code RICH for $20 off. Download the app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Love Game Time.
Love it.
I wish I had time to go to a game, go to a concert while I was here. You guys work hard. You work smart and you work hard.
The boss was here last night. We missed that.
Best thing I enjoyed your what's more likely. I really did. You put a lot of work into that. That's Thanks, a lot Dave. Of pre-show prep.
Thanks, Dave.
I'd like to give you a what's more likely that had absolutely no prep at all.
Great.
I'm telling you right now, but I'm going to start with you.
Sometimes those are the best kind.
That's the story of my life. It is the amount of preparation required to not be prepared, to look unprepared. But I know one thing about you. What's more likely? The Celts to sweep an NBA Finals series or the Patriots to again finish above 500?
This season?
This coming season.
Patriots above 500 this season?
Yep. Or the Celts to sweep the NBA Finals?
Sweep the NBA Finals? Jeez.
You have to choose one. That's the game.
Patriots above 500.
It's hard to sweep.
It's hard to sweep. Although I have a super hot hoop stake that I want to unveil at some point, TJ. Mm-hmm. TJ's the only one that's heard it. But I'm not ready. Asinine. I'm not ready to do it yet because it's super hot and I'm not there yet.
That was really great content.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. That was nice to tell us that you're wanting to do something and then not do
it. Don't believe it.
I did when I thought it at the time.
It's hot, bro.
It's super hot.
This is outrageous. Could you please?
This is BS. This
now
is
you
outrageous.
Have to do it.
No, it's not ready.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Unload TJ's what's more likely.
All right. I have a what's more likely for you, TJ.
All right. Let's go.
I'm going back to WrestleMania where you're going to Philadelphia. What is more likely?
All right.
Your flight into Philly being delayed?
Don't say that.
Or
put that on me, Ricky Bobby. Yes.
You actually talking to The Rock.
Ooh.
What's more likely?
Yep.
I'm going to say me talking to The Rock.
In his life or this weekend?
Me talking to The Rock is more likely.
Mm. See, I would have gone the other way. I screwed that up. We got to do it again. I actually meant the actual Rock.
Have you flown to Philadelphia?
My bad.
You know I didn't mean the cutout.
Oh, not this. Okay. No, I'm going to say that. I'm going to say I'm going to get so close to the ring and I'm going to yell something at Rock and he'll hear me and he'll respond back.
Philadelphia airport is so bad.
I'm not sure the last time you've traveled. As I sat on the tarmac for 4 hours trying to make it to L.A. to sit in Rich Eisen's seat for a couple of days.
I don't care about the flight there. I just know that on Monday morning, my flight lands here at 9:30. That flight cannot be late.
Well, I hope it's not, but I sort of disagree with your what's more likely because I would say that you talking to The Rock is as out of the question as the Celtics winning the championship.
David, great job the last 2 days.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there is the sneak a peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got a ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter, who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark. Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.